Good morning.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Steve. I'm Jeff Bullock. Many of you know me. I've been around for 23 years. I'm in charge of pastoral care. I'm on a part-time basis now after a lot of those years. And I basically watch over hospital visitation, shut-in visitation, weddings, funerals, counseling, crisis times, that type of thing. So people are my concern, and I'm glad to see each of you here this morning. In Isaiah, the 9th chapter, verse 6, there's a passage that's one of those passages that we tie to prophecy, and we've used that passage in many services around Christmas time. And that passage reads, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Our history books, if you would go back and survey them, almost every history book that you could find would be filled with war, bloodshed, and violence. There's so much of that we see through the history of our country and of our world. Again and again, nations have gone to war. The blood of some of America's best has stained the ground of battlefields all around the world. Someone has added this up, and I don't take any credit for it. Somebody else, I read it, said that there have been over 8,000 peace treaties signed since 1440 BC. 8,000 peace treaties. But, you know, the average life of those peace treaties is only 2 years. 2 years. 2 years. And then the peace treaty was thrown out. Furthermore, we're told that there hasn't been more than 150 years of continuous world peace since the time of the book of Genesis. So there's no time where hundreds and hundreds of years of peace has just consumed our country or our world. That just hasn't happened. It's been a world of war and bloodshed and trouble and constant search for the path to peace. Peace. People, that's a special word. And I listened this past couple weeks so many times in Christmas programs on television and radio, even on specials, all kind of things. The word peace was a word that was a primary word in the discussions. This is the heart cry today of every concerned American as we look at the bloody battlefields in our news reports and learn that so many young adults have given their lives. We have so many who are praying for the safety and return of loved ones from foreign lands. They would like to see peace in the Middle East and around the world. Whether you call something a police action, a skirmish, a conflict, or a war, it is still ugly and not good for anybody. There are many women and men who today have their spouses who are risking their lives. Perhaps they will never see them again through the military, through war, and that type of thing. We realize also that there's much happening at home, much heartbreak, domestic violence, family turmoil, leading to divorce, again, is ugly and not good for anyone. There almost seems like there's not a day that passes that in the Canton repository, there's not an announcement of another murder, another shooting, another home invasion, another robbery, something. And that statement hits me hard because my peaceful neighborhood of Harder Heights in the area of Raff Road and Tusk, my peaceful neighborhood a couple weeks ago was struck by a murder one block from my house. when a couple guys shot and killed the homeowner. That hits pretty close. Pretty close. And it seems like if you watch the paper, that kind of thing's happening everywhere. So there's unrest. There's people that are so involved in things that are not good and certainly not peaceful. The heart cry of America is peace. I don't know of many people that don't want peace. They would like to see peace in their families and peace in their neighborhoods and peace in this country and peace in this world. People desire peace. Our national world leaders are trying to find the path to peace. This seems to be the heart cry, as I said, from one end of America to the other, and as well over all the free world. Names like Gandhi and Mother Teresa and Mandela and Martin Luther King, Jimmy Carter, just to name a few, are all associated with peace efforts. And regardless of whether you agree with everything that those people stand for, peace efforts, trying to draw people together in a harmonious, peaceful way, has been the effort of a lot of key people. Where is this path to peace? What can we do? Every path to peace seems to be leading to a dead-end street. We're unable so often to get the aggressors to the conference table to talk peace. People just don't want to talk about how to resolve some of the conflicts that we have. Let me say something to you, and I hope you grasp what I'm saying here. The Prince of Peace has been right here with us. Now think about that statement. Ever since that passage from Isaiah was written, the Prince of Peace, that wonderful passage, the Prince of Peace has been a part of our lives. The Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, he's been a part of what happens in this world. He's been here. I'm convinced that the path of peace is the path to the Prince of Peace. Who else could bring peace to the world? Can you tell me? Can you name, if we had to identify a person, an individual, can you tell me who is it that could pull all this together and there would be peace? Who else could bring peace to this world than the one who is the Prince of Peace, that is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior? I want to talk about that passage again that we started with. Let me just read through it quickly. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. Jesus was both Son, the Son of God, and he was the Son of Man. He related to God. He relates to us as human beings. He knows the things we go through. He knows the troubles that we face. Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man. And the government will be upon his shoulders. Think about the implications of that statement. His principles will carry us through if we allow them to. In other words, if governments would allow Christian principles to guide them in what they do. That's what this is talking about. The government will be upon his shoulders. He is willing to hold us up, to lift us up. He is willing to set the model how countries, how communities, how families can live and exist in peace. That's what this is saying. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor. His teachings will provide us answers. We go to a counselor when we've got a problem. When there's some issue in our life, we go to a counselor. And here in this passage, he is called Wonderful Counselor. Who should we go to when we have conflicts in our life? Who should we go to when there's troubles? We should go to Jesus. His teachings will provide us answers. Mighty God, His ways can give us power. We think sometimes, how are we going to get through something? And yet, giving ourselves to God, giving ourselves to Jesus Christ, equips us, gives us power for us to endure, to get through some of the issues of life. Prince of Peace, His love and grace and mercy will give us peace. If we focus on Him, if we give our lives to Him, things can be different. When the angels announced His birth on the Judean hillsides to the shepherds tending their flocks, do you remember there were angels? And the angels said, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests." Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those that He favors. You know, what a statement. What a statement. And on earth peace. The angels were heralding what was to happen, and that peace was to find a place in the lives and the hearts and the existence of people just like us. That's what was heralded. That's what was heralded about Jesus. Why would they herald the news? Why? Because the birth of Jesus was such a significant event. Ephesians 2:14 is another verse that deals with peace. It says, "For He Himself is our peace." Talking about Jesus, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. Jesus, the peace that He gives, can break down barriers, can break down walls, can change lives, can change families, can change communities, can change countries, can change the world. That's what we're talking about here. For He Himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier. Now, I'm going to get a little political here. Okay, that'll perk a few of you up. A little political. And I'm going to make a couple statements that are pretty drastic. The efforts of the United Nations and all the political groups will never get the job done. Now, does that mean I'm a pessimist? I'm just saying that those groups will never get the job done. Because the job that needs done will happen when people turn their lives over to God. When God is the focus of their lives and Jesus Christ is their Savior and Lord, when that focus is there, there will be peace. There will be peace. And I think that's what we're talking about here. You know, when we talk about United Nations and we talk about political groups, you know, we may eventually see guns put down. We may eventually see bombs stop being dropped in certain countries. But when it stops there, you know what's going to happen? It's going to break out somewhere else. Because when people don't have this peace of Christ in their lives, then they have adversaries, they have enemies, they have hatred, and it can't be resolved. This whole thing could escalate into another world war, which would be our worst nightmare. It could usher in the second coming of Jesus Christ, and we're told we don't know when that's going to happen. But I tell you that our problems cannot be answered. Now, here's a line I'm going to throw you. Cannot be solved by the Republican Party or the Democratic Party. We have seen people struggle and struggle and struggle to try to come up with the answers. And I'm still waiting for answers. I'm still waiting for people even to be able to sit down and talk civilly with each other and try to come up with answers that can meet problems that are not major problems, but just minor problems. Problems. How bad is it? Even Dennis Miller on his syndicated radio program this past week said he has given up on our country because of so many stupid decisions, wasteful spending, and the lack of responsibility. Where is the path to peace? What can we do? God needs some Christian person, or God needs many Christian people who will stand up because their life is godly and represent God in this world and stand up for what is right. God needs people who will do that, Christian people, maybe to be school teachers, maybe to run for political office, and then when they get in, whether local, state, or national, be faithful to their Christian principles. This is the path of peace. Humble surrender to the Prince of Peace. The path to peace is a path to Calvary. The path to peace will come through the Holy Spirit and His power. The Holy Spirit is the indwelling presence of the Almighty God. He is the great power that Jesus promised before He left. In John, the Gospel of John, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. Peace I leave with you." Not, He said, "My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." Jesus said He would give us peace. He promised to send a comforter. He promised to send the Holy Spirit, whose power would bring peace to people's hearts. The Bible says that we as Christians are to be filled with His Spirit. In Acts 5, it says, "We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him, who follow His word and follow His teachings." The only way that people are going to have peace with one another is to have peace with God. And then they will be at peace with their fellow man. Families will be at peace. Neighborhoods will be at peace. Countries will be at peace. And ultimately the world will be at peace. You cannot have the peace of God until you are at peace with God. The only way to be at peace with God is to have the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit dwell in your life. In Acts 2:38, the Apostle Peter, God's voice on that day of Pentecost, said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." When we obey the gospel, when we repent of our sins, when we're baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of our sins, then the Bible says God will give us the Holy Spirit. You can rest assured He'll do it. He'll do it because He's been faithful. God has been faithful. He's done it for me. He's done it for many of you. He's done it for thousands and thousands of people across our world. The path to peace is the Prince of Peace and the power of the Holy Spirit. The path to peace is the message of peace found in God's holy word, the Bible. If we carry this message, then people will hear about Jesus. They will obey the gospel. They will receive His Spirit. Mark 16:15-16 says, Jesus says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." When are people at peace with God? When they are, they will be at peace with one another. The message of God's word is the message of peace. When we Christians carry this message of peace that proclaims the Prince of Peace and people have the Holy Spirit in their lives, then and not until then are people going to have peace. The destiny of our nation then lies in the hands of the people of God, Christian people, people who will take the message of God and spread it throughout this world. Someone said we must take it, use it or lose it, preach it or perish, evangelize or die. When people are at peace with God, they will be at peace with one another. Some time ago, I was reading a magazine, and I saw that this magazine, sometime in the past, had offered an award to the person who submitted a picture most appropriately depicting peace. Now think about that. If I said to you, we're going to have a contest here in the church, and each of you that want to submit a picture depicting peace, what would you take a picture of? What would you take a picture of? In this contest that was held by this magazine, the third choice was a landscape. It was a beautiful picture of a landscape, probably flowers and trees and shrubs and grass. It was a beautiful picture, but that was a third place picture. The second choice was a picture of a military cemetery with all its peaceful rows of white crosses. The picture that won first place was the portrait of a storm. A storm. With black billowing clouds, streaks of lightning, and trees drooping to the ground. One of the limbs in one of the trees that was in the foreground had a picture of a bird's nest. And in the nest was a mother bird. Her wings were covering her little baby birds. She was protecting them. And though the storm was raging, lightning flashing, thunder crashing, trees bent over, that mother and her little birds did not seem to be the least troubled. They had peace because they were safe. The little birds were safe under the wings of their mother. What a picture. What a picture. A world that is in trouble and turmoil. And think of it this way. And yet, we Christians, because we have the power of the Spirit and we have Christ in our lives and we have peace in our hearts, we can influence this world with love and with protection and with encouragement and with help. We're going to offer an invitation. This is the last Sunday of the year. Perhaps there's someone here who is thinking through this sermon and realize maybe I don't have the peace that Jeff's talking about because I have not accepted Jesus as my Savior and Lord. I've never taken him into my life. And after I conclude the invitation here and I'm going to pray, then our musicians are going to come and they're going to sing a song. And if any of you want to accept Christ, I'll be down front. There'll be some elders down front. We would encourage you to do that. There's a lot to think about. We used to talk about New Year's resolutions. And I think everybody got frustrated with them sometimes, you know. But we're talking about something that's really significant here. As you take Christ into your life and his Spirit changes you, what can you do in this next year to make a difference in your family, in your community, in our town, in our county, in our state? What if everybody would just identify something they could do to better maybe some people, maybe some kids, maybe you'll do some tutoring, you know, maybe you'll, you know, do some, so many opportunities for volunteerism. Making a difference because of your commitment to God and Jesus Christ and your commitment to serving him through the power of the Holy Spirit. So many things that you can think about, just where you are, commitments to this new year. How about a commitment to pray for our church daily? We need people that will pray for our church. We need people that will pray for Ryan Rasmussen, our new minister. He'll be coming mid-February, I believe. Mid-February. We need to be praying for Ryan that God will prepare him and God will prepare us to receive the message of God that he's going to bring us. We live in an exciting time here as we look to the new year. And it's exciting and made more exciting when we say we're Christians and we've got God's Spirit in us and we want his peace to be a part of our life and our culture. I'm going to pray, then we're going to sing. If any of you have decisions to make, we encourage you to come. And let me pray. God, we thank you for this time that we've had together. And God, we just pray that that this time together would help us to focus. Help us to focus on what you would have us to do with our lives. God, you know there's so much evil in this world, so much sin. And God, the answer is for people to accept your Son, Jesus Christ, and allow his Spirit to work through them. God, I pray for decisions this morning. I pray for decisions in our lives as we face the new year. I'm just thankful for each person that's here today and their life and what a blessing they can be to others. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.